May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 854. 854. Jesus, Lord of life and peace, to thee we lift our voice. Teach us at thy holiness to tremble and rejoice. Sweet and terrible is thy word. Thou and thy word are both the same. Holy, holy, holy Lord, we love thy holy name. Hymn 854.
the Lord help us to read the book of the prophet Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, and help us to pray. O Lord God Almighty, we ask thou wouldst condescend and minister unto us by thy Spirit this evening, enabling us to worship thee, bringing thy word with power to our hearts, as thou didst cause it to come into the heart of Isaiah, giving us a sight of thyself by faith, and we shall see ourselves as undone. And Lord, favour us with the application of a blood-bought pardon, a thoroughly cleansing. Oh Lord, may we be among that tenth we've read of. Lord, that little remnant. Lord, thou knowest those that are thine. In this congregation this evening, Lord, thou seest the mark on the back of thy sheep. Lord, am I among them? May it be made known. Look in mercy upon those with whom it is a deep exercise. And Lord, look in mercy upon any of thine who are not exercised. And exercise us more, give us more diligence to make our calling and election sure. We do pray. Raise us above this earth to which we cleave. Quicken us from this flesh, which is altogether unprofitable, and with which we cannot serve thee. Oh Lord, we are dependent on thee. We beg thy mercy. Lord, another day's sin, and thou hast seen it all. Just hated it with a perfect hatred. We have grieved thee, Lord. Oh Lord, help us to grieve for grieving thee. Give us the grace, Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, may we be given the grace to grieve in some measure as the Saviour grieved. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Lord, we pray, leave us not to a form of godliness. We've sung of it, Lord, in the hymn. Lord, left to ourselves, we take thy name on our lips. Do not revere him whose name it is. Oh, as we've prayed, leave us not to such lame loyalty. Leave us not, Lord, to such dead formality. Leave us not to such a fleshly religion, the form of godliness. Grant us the power of vital godliness. Oh, may we hear thy voice with power tonight, Lord. Oh, thou art God alone. Oh, thine eye is upon each of thy people right now, and has been so from eternity, and will be so to eternity. Oh, look thou upon us, and be merciful to us as thou usest to do, to those that love thy name. Leave us not out. O Lord, pass us not by. Give us that vehemence in prayer by thy Spirit that thou didst give a Bartimaeus, that he would not hold his peace, but cried out the more, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Bless this people with unceasing prayer. Thou said, pray without ceasing. Lord, help us so to do. Lord, deliver us from prayerlessness and prayerless prayers. Lord, in public, help those of us that try to speak in prayer in public. Do not leave us. To pray to men. Do not leave us to make an address to the congregation. Do not leave us, Lord, to pray with ourselves. Oh, give that eye of faith to firmly eye the Saviour. We plead his blessed name. He is at thy right hand, Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. These are great and awful words. 'Tis to Jesus they belong. Let his people praise him in their songs and pray to him in their prayers. Oh, in Jesus' name, send down thy Spirit tonight. We do pray. Oh, may something be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus for eternity. Oh, Lord, let thy kingdom come and thy will be done. May sinners be blessed, and then thy name shall be glorified. Oh, Lord, may there be true worship. May we be humbled in the dust. May flesh be crucified. May idols be cast out. May our sins be removed as far as the east is from the west. O Lord, may we love thee. Lord, have mercy on us then. We thank thee for thy mercies to us till now. Mercies countless as the sands, and every one of them undeserved. The very least of them we are unworthy of. Lord, we thank thee for the word. Oh, that sure and unerring word, that word which endureth forever, the treasure. Lord, we pray, make it ours. Remind thy people by thy Spirit of whatsoever thou hast said to them in days past. They may see, Lord, their possession. The house of Jacob may possess their possessions in their soul's experience. O Lord, continue thy mercy. Go on to be gracious. Bless this people here and appear for them. Be the head of this church. Clearly direct them, Lord. Give each member of this church divine discretion, discernment, strength, wisdom, faithfulness. Lord, help them. Provide for them, direct them. And we pray this for thy church in this land and across the world. How long, Lord, will thou not revive us again? That we may rejoice in thee. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. The work of our hands establish thou it. Bless the labours of thy sent servants. Give thy people discernment, as that is, give it to that woman of old. Now I know that thou art the Lord's prophet, and his word is in thy mouth. Oh, make it plain to thy people. Lord, have mercy. Grant, Lord, help. Lord, there's a day of separation coming. May we be separated now unto thyself. Lord, oh, do sanctify us. We are so prone to cleave to that which is wrong. Lord, we are such cowards. We are such fools. Lord, save us from going with the crowd. Make us willing to go with thy little remnant. Yea, our Lord, to go with him. the despised Nazarene. Let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here are we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Lord, may we seek it more. May our eyes be up unto thee. May we be truly risen with Christ, and our affections be set on things above, and not on things on the earth. We do pray, Lord, for the afflicted. Oh, have mercy on them. Sanctify their afflictions. Lord, as thou didst Hezekiah's, as thou didst all those afflicted people who were brought to thee in the days of thy flesh. Lord, what a blessing for that man that he was laid on that stretcher. And one of old said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. For before I was afflicted, I went astray. Lord, sanctify then afflictions. And we think not only of bodily ones. Lord, some are afflicted with poverty, some are afflicted with enemies, some are afflicted, Lord, with adversities. All thy people are afflicted with a body of sin and death, a cruel foe, a wicked nature. Lord, oh, we pray to grant healing mercy for body, soul, and mind. Remember the mother in hospital. We do ask that thou wouldst be with her and help her and her husband and family at home. Greatly missing her presence in all that she does at home. But Lord, it's thy appointment. Grant all needed help to each. We pray thou spare the life of the unborn child and bring that child to a safe and healthy birth. We do beseech thee. May the people here be given a spirit of prayer to pray without ceasing. Oh, for prevailing prayer. Oh, it has been given, Lord. This people have proved it many times. As thy people have. Oh, Lord, and thou art the same. The Lord liveth. And blessed be my rock. And exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. We pray for our nation. Lord, have mercy at this time. Overrule and undertake. Sanctify the death of our late Queen to her family, to the nation, to the Church of God, to thy people. We thank thee for the favours thou didst grant this country in the natural gifts and abilities and the steadfastness in duty to this nation. Although there are those things that grieve us, yet, Lord, we are persuaded there was that which was thy mercy to this nation, thy church among us, among this nation. Lord, we pray. Do turn the heart of the new king to thee. Direct him, Lord, daily to read thy word. And daily, Lord, to plead with thee for help. Lord, may he obtain it. If he asks, Lord, he will obtain it. Oh, we ask for it. But Lord, we need it too. Oh, we pray for grace to be God-fearing subjects on this earth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, help, and our Prime Minister and government also. Oh, do so influence them. They should do that which is right and proper, honest, open, without guile and deceit. Lord, help them. Spare this guilty land. Restrain the wickedness. We do beseech thee. Grant the continuation of the liberties we enjoy. And grant thy blessing upon those liberties. Save the church from itself. For Lord, how true the words of the hymn writer. By whom should Jacob now arise? For Jacob's friends are few. What should fill us with surprise? They seem divided too. We pray for the unity of the Spirit. For thou didst say, Lord Jesus, a house divided against itself shall fall. But Lord, thy true church is not divided against itself. For thou art the head and the source of the unity. Thou art the unity of that church. So may we each have our flesh overcome. Let distinctions fall. Nothing in ourselves to see. Christ, all in all. For his name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 892. Art thou by sin a captive led? Is sin thy daily grief? The man who break the serpent's head can bring thee sweet relief. Hymn 892.
dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter we read, Isaiah chapter 6. The book of the prophet Isaiah chapter 6. Reading verses 5, 6 and 7. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Isaiah recalls this solemn and yet most blessed experience took place in the year that King Uzziah died. We are in the year that the monarch of our own country has died. The most important thing for you and me, my dear friend, is to have this experience in whatever year the Lord appoints it. And if we have it once, we shall need it again and again in the renewal of it. Because Isaiah says he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the Lord by faith in heaven. Sitting upon a throne, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No doubt you will have thought of that title and you will have thought of that blessed person in recent days. What a blessed truth it is that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that he liveth forever. He is King and Priest. Paul, in writing to the Hebrews, he distinguishes this priest, and of course, the same distinguishing truth is regarding him in his kingly office. All those Old Testament priests, all those Old Testament kings, and those kings that have been on thrones and are still on thrones on this earth now, they were not suffered to continue by reason of death, because they were sinners. But this man, because he continueth ever, continueth ever a faithful and a merciful high priest. He's able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. But whilst those thoughts you may have had concerning the King of Kings are good, if they have been given you by the Lord, believing thoughts, The most important thing, my dear friend, for you and me is to know this King in the way Isaiah knew him. In such a way as we shall be deeply convicted of our sins against him, and in such a way as we shall be pardoned of our sins, through the application of all the benefits of his sin-atoning sacrifice, because that's what our text speaks of. Oh, you see, if you see the King, the Lord of hosts, you won't be looking round on other people. A sight of the King will cause you to see yourself as the vilest sinner out of hell. The chief of sinners. And there is not a more solemn experience. But there's not a more necessary experience. Then might have said, sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. We can't be saved before we're lost. Poor lost sinner, feelingly lost sinner here this evening. Let me state that truth in a positive way. Every sinner who feels themselves lost will one day be saved. Because only God can make a sinner to be feelingly lost. But he doesn't leave a sinner there. Jesus said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." These seraphims, heavenly, angelic creatures, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Even those angelic, heavenly creatures hid their faces from this holy, holy, holy Lord. Oh, my dear friend, may we be granted the grace of reverence. Oh, may we know this compelling to hide our faces. Your deacon in his prayer in the vestry mentioned that the spouse said in the Song of Solomon, "Look not upon us because we are black, because the Son hath looked upon me." And the Saviour said to her, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in me." Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Thrice holy. Holy Father, Holy Spirit, Holy Son. And it has been something of a burden with me even this day in a consideration of how unholy I am. My dear friend, what do you and I know of holiness? The answer is, we only know as much of holiness as we know of Christ. Fear not, worm Jacob, for I will help thee. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. This was the holiness that was given to Isaiah. May it be an encouragement to those of us that feel our unholiness in any measure this evening, that God granted holiness to an unholy man. But let us not assume, because we feel something of our unholiness, that we should be made holy. But let us pray for the experience that Isaiah was given here, the communication of it. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. These seraphims crying one to another, and the voice of the seraphims. How is it that their voice caused the posts of the door to move? It was because they were stating, they were crying such tremendous truth. They were speaking of the holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. It was that name, it was that word. And have you not known, child of God? Not a seraphim, but a sent servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching the word. And the power of the Holy Spirit came down with that word, and the posts of the door moved at the sound of that word. A shaking. Yet once more, says the Lord, I shake not the earth only, but heaven also. This word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And the house was filled with smoke. Do we not associate smoke with Sinai? When God on the Mount Sinai was giving to Moses, to his people, through Moses, his own holy law, the mountain smoked. And I believe that is all I can say really regarding this house being filled with smoke. We know what smoke is the result of, don't we? Fire upon combustible material. That's what produces smoke. The holiness of God in his law. Indeed, the holiness of God in all that he is like a consuming fire with regard to everything that may be consumed. And that is everything but himself and his own work, which in the word of God is illustrated in the description of gold and silver and precious stones. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And if any man build upon this foundation, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be tried by fire. If any man suffer loss, and Isaiah suffered loss in this experience. Have you had experiences, my dear friend, where you have suffered loss? If you haven't, you've never had an experience of the gain of that which is most precious. You can't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ and your own righteousness. You can't have salvation by grace and your own works stand. You can't have the comfort of God and the comfort of the flesh. You can't have self and Christ. Isaiah experienced here the burning up of self. Isaiah 61, the Son of God says, he's anointed, the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to give beauty for ashes. His beauty for ashes. Were you ever brought to God with nothing but ashes? That's what Isaiah was brought to God here with. That's why the house was filled with smoke. Has all your religion ever gone up in smoke, my dear friend? Because you can't be saved by all your religion. Has the Lord ever overturned the tables of the money changers and cast out the seats of those that sold doves? Has he ever brought you to be in that place? That man in Elihu's gospel sermon was, his soul draweth near unto the grave and his life to the destroyer. You thought everything was going so well. You thought you were getting on well. You thought you got a good hope. You thought you got a reasonable religion. And the Lord came, he revealed himself in his holy law. In some measure, it was all burnt up. All your religion, you felt to have nothing. Nothing. Well, what did Jesus say to Simon, the Pharisee? When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Then said I, woe is me. Woe is me. This is a deeply solemn and deeply mysterious experience. It is the work of the Holy Spirit alone. Because all other religion begins with the opposite of this. This is the death sentence, woe is me. I believe I know something of what I'm speaking about. I'm sure if the Lord spares my life, I don't know all of it yet. This is an experience that the Lord will be giving us right to the end of our days, as Ezekiel proved it. Turn again, son of man, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. Because you see, when you have got no righteousness at all, when there's nothing right about you, where do you begin? There isn't. There isn't anything to begin with, is there? There isn't anything to hope upon. There isn't anything to build upon. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that can save thee in these thy cities? You see, until you have this revelation of the Lord that makes you say, woe is me, you'll be thinking, there's something good about me. There's something I can work with. There's something I can bring to God. There's something surely in me that's pleasing to him. Woe is me. Not just woe unto me. But of course, if woe is me, woe is our lot. And if we are not delivered from that, it will be an eternal woe. But you see, God brings this woe now. In these moments when he shows himself in his holiness, there is a realization of the awful woe of an eternity in hell. But this revelation brings that woe in some measure to us now. Jonah was not in hell. Actually, he is not in that bottomless pit. He was not in the lake of fire and brimstone. Actually, but in his soul's experience he was. Out of the belly of hell, cried I. Woe is me. But blessed be his dear name. I can't mention Jonah without mentioning Jonah's antitype. Christ, woe is me. Oh, Isaiah and Jonah and everyone who is led of the Spirit in the way we are speaking of in this text this evening, they shall be saved because they have an elder brother who has entered more deeply than they have into that woe. My soul, he says, is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. While bulls of Bashan compass me about. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm a worm and no man. Being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. The person who really from their heart says, woe is me, says so because they are being given the grace of the Lord of hosts whom they are beholding. I think I mentioned in prayer, praying that the Lord would give us the grief that Jesus felt. Our wretched natures can't grieve over sin. But the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, if it is given us, will make us grieve over sin. In some tiny measure, even as he grieved over it. There's encouragement there, poor sinner, tonight. You who find you cannot grieve over your sins as you ought, still you may look to Christ. In that lost condition, Lord, wound the heart that wounded thee. Melt it in Gethsemane. Then said I, woe is me. This expression, woe is me, is the result of clear and thorough conviction by the Holy Spirit. If you have in any measure a glimpse of the Lord of hosts, holy, 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 it will not be some things about you that are wrong. Everything about you. You see, when David heard the words, "Thou art the man," he was convicted of the sin of adultery and murder, but he was convicted of the sin of his nature. He was shown, "David, you committed those sins because you're a sinner. David, you committed those sins because your mother conceived you in sin. Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am undone." Now, these are not the words of a man who had in an outward sense lived like King Saul, King Ahab, Jezebel. No. "I am undone," he says. "Though the outside be kept clean, the filth is felt within. I am undone. Undone." The very word "undone," he goes right back to the Adam fall, doesn't he? God didn't make Isaiah like this. Sin made him like it. Adam was created in God's image. He wasn't created undone. God could not create something sinful. He was created holy. "I'm undone. The fall has undone me. And my own transgressions," as the word of the Lord says in Hosea, "O Israel, return unto the Lord, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquities." Undone. Is there a backslider here this evening? And this is a word concerning the effect of your backslidings, your departures. Do you look back on better days this evening, my dear friend? The Lord says to his people in the prophecy of Jeremiah, "I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness." And he says, Israel was holiness unto the Lord. There was a closeness between Israel and the Lord that made Israel holy. There was a holy love, there was a holy faith, there was holiness wrought in their speech and their spirit and their language. But then, telling the people that the Lord remembered them, the Lord goes on to say, "What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, to a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, Ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. Undone. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Your sins have separated between you and your God and have hid his face from you. Woe is me, for I am undone. By my sin, in my soul's experience, I have lost the blessing of the experience of it that I had. I am undone. And I cannot undo what I have undone. We may wander, but we cannot bring ourselves back. We may sin, but we cannot put those sins away. We may grieve the Spirit, but we cannot do anything to remedy the grieving of the Spirit. If the Spirit's grieving is to be remedied, the Spirit must do it. Now, that may sound strange to someone here this evening, but it won't be strange to you if the Lord gives you the experience of Isaiah. But let me tell you this, if the Holy Spirit calls you to feel and to say what Isaiah said here, the Holy Spirit is already doing that by which you shall be restored. This was a sovereign experience at a sovereign time. It's the Lord's sovereign goodness to his people. May we, in our own present condition, the Holy Spirit is not utterly taken from us. Well, of course, we can only speak that with regard to our own personal experience. But I believe there are those here this evening. And my dear friend, I would not wish and I dare not say that the Holy Spirit is completely and utterly withheld from me. That would grieve him further. But oh, he is not with us in the measure he's been before. With a blessed liberating measure, those beautiful truths you sung in that hymn just now. Yes, that hymn, it concentrates on the blessed Redeemer, the Saviour. But you see, all of that delivering work of the Saviour in the experience of his people is by the Holy Ghost. Go with thy chains about thy neck. Who's going to lead you to do that? The Holy Ghost. And who's going to send you away? His freedman. The Holy Ghost applying the blessed, precious blood of Jesus Christ, revealing his person, whispering the words of Jesus into your very soul. You know those two on the Emmaus Road? They didn't only have Jesus with them. They had the Holy Ghost with them. They had the Father with them. I am undone. The margin reading for this word undone in the original Hebrew, the significance is cut off. Cut off. Jonah, I'm cast out of God's sight. Surely he will cut me off, says Hezekiah. I've cut off like a weaver my life. You see, when he said cut off, he was referring to the old stock. And when the old stock is cut off, that is, all confidence and strength and life from the first Adam, from the flesh, the sinner feels cut off from God. But what do we read in the book of Job? There is hope of a tree. Though it be cut down, and though the stock thereof wax old in the earth, that through scent of water it shall shoot again. Of course, there's nothing in nature that gives an absolutely accurate and correct and full correspondence with the work of God's grace. It is completely above all creation. But the Lord in his word is pleased to use these things to bring those truths out. There's hope of a tree. Not while it's still standing, though it be cut off. When you're cut off from creature righteousness, when you're cut off from all creature help, when you're cut off from all creature comfort, when you're cut off from all creature supply, when you're a dead tree, cut down, there's hope. There's hope. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, a ruined race. What is the significance of what Isaiah is saying here? He's not saying it in the sense that, well, I'm undone and so is everyone else around me, we're all in it together. I'm no worse than others. I don't believe he meant that at all. From my own experience, my dear friend, but principally from the word of God, I believe he meant this. There is no one from among my people can do me good. There is no one from among my people can deliver me. There is no human arm that can reach my case. Nobody can persuade me that I'm not undone, and nobody can recover me from my undone condition. I thought that today, even with regard to the mourning family of our late Queen, what a mercy. If the Lord brought them in comfortless before him. Because Jesus in John 14 says, I will not leave you comfortless, orphans. I will come to you. There's a day coming with each one of us when, appearing before our Maker, there will be no one but God, but Christ to speak. And how awful if we should appear there without him. How awful if we were popular through our life. How awful if we had a multitude of counselors and comforters through our life. How awful if this minister and that minister told us we were one of the Lord's people and we weren't. We come before God and he says, I never knew you. There's no comfort for you. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Have you ever been in that exceedingly lonely place? Jacob was left alone. He had sent over his company over the brook Jabbok, and the Lord was in control of everything he did. And undoubtedly, Jacob was thinking of following them over. But God had ordered it that he should send them over first. And we read, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Since they have not holy lips, they cannot help an unholy sinner like me. Since they have not pardon to speak, I have not sinned against them. I have sinned with them against thee and holy God. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me. The Lord here shows that he's pleased to use means. The means here is this seraphim having a live coal in his hand. Which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. What Isaiah was shown here was the only way he could be cleansed was through a sacrifice, an offering on a fiery altar. Isaiah would have been familiar with the ordinances that the Lord had instituted generations before, and the command that the Lord had given concerning the tabernacle and the altar. The fire shall never go out. It shall be burning continually. A live coal. Notice that word live. Clearly what he saw was this coal still glowing with the heat of the altar. He hadn't cooled. He was still hot, probably red hot, a live coal from off the heavenly altar, from off the altar. There is only one remedy for unholy, unclean, undone men. The word of the Holy God, I have laid help on one that's mighty. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. The blood of Jesus Christ, my Son, cleanseth from all sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And of course, the fiery altar represents the intense, the infinite heat of the flames of God's wrath that the Saviour endured in giving his life. A live coal. We must have a live coal from off that heavenly altar. What does that mean? It means the truth of Christ's sin-atoning death brought to our heart with life. And that's the Holy Spirit. Wasn't that what you had, child of God, believer? In those days the Lord spoke of, as I quoted just now, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousal. Christ was made a living reality. His sin-atoning death was brought to your heart with a measure of the warmth and the power and the cleansing efficacy. There's nothing that cleanses like heat. A live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth. And he laid it upon my mouth. Application. I never knew the minister, but my parents used to speak of him, Mr. Hammond. And like many ministers, he had, well, not unique, but sayings that he frequently used. And it was this. Friends, it's application, application, application. Exactly where Isaiah was convinced of his sins, the coming out from his heart, through his lips, that's the place where the remedy is applied. A burning remedy. Perhaps some of you in a former generation, my own generation and beyond that, you may have been dealt with by your mother as I was dealt with when I told a lie. She put soap in my mouth. Bringing home two things. Your mouth has sinned. You've told a lie. You need cleansing. Now that was soap. She was too kind to put a burning coal on my mouth. But the lesson was taught all the same. But this is still kindness by Almighty God. Oh, when everything of ourself is cleansed away by the application of the sacrifice of the altar. Paul says, doesn't he, we have an altar. Whereof they have no right to eat, which are partakers of the tabernacle. That is, those who are just Jews according to the flesh. Paul says of the believer in Christ, we have an altar, it's not a brazen altar. It's not an altar made of the materials of creation. The altar is Jesus Christ. He is both the altar and the sacrifice. He offered himself without spot. To purge our sins away. And now what Isaiah gets here is an application of it. And he laid it upon my mouth, caused it to touch my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. This hath touched thy lips. Child of God, you have known this, if ever, the precious name and blood and righteousness has been revealed to your soul. It has touched you. Not a physical touching, a spiritual touching. And how will you know it? Well, this live coal, it must have been felt by Isaiah, mustn't it? When the precious, glorious doctrines of the death of Jesus Christ, the sufferings, the blood shedding of Jesus, is caused by the Spirit to touch us, we shall feel it. We shall feel it. Real religion's more than notions. Something must be known and felt. Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. There was a word then. There was contact, and there was words. How often in the Gospels, those two things were done by the Lord Jesus in healing those people that were brought to him. To the leper, he says, I will be thou clean. And he stretched forth his hand and touched him. Talitha Cumi, he says to the young girl who was dead, he took her by the hand and said, Talitha Cumi, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Taken away. Oh, the mercy. That iniquity you can't rid yourself of. It sticks to you. It's like that black grease, isn't it? The more you try to get it off you, the more it spreads. It's like that mud. Yea, it's worse than all these things because it's rooted in us, isn't it? Though I wash my hands with snow water, yet shall thou plunge me in the ditch, so that my own clothes abhor me. But thine iniquity is taken away. God has taken it away. Christ has taken it away. Surely, he has taken it away. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And he has laid on him the iniquity of us all. My dear friend, this is what you and I need this evening. If you've had it before, you need it again. I'm not saying it's undone. It never can be undone. Once your iniquity is taken away, it's taken away forever. But oh, the fresh contracted guilt, and through sin the losing of the sense of the blessing. Thine iniquity, as I think I've said here in the past, the difference between the word sin and the word iniquity. The iniquity is that which leads to the transgressions. Thou forgavest the iniquity. And you see, the iniquity of the sin is this. In every sin there is hatred of God. And if you see this holy, holy Lord God, that's what you'll be convinced of. Woe is me, because every sin I've committed has been with this iniquity at the root of it, hatred of God. Now, he says, thine hatred of God, thine iniquity is taken away. Oh, love beyond conception great, that formed the vast stupendous plan where all divine perfections meet to reconcile rebellious man. He hath made him to be sin for us, And Isaiah knew it. He wasn't iniquity. He has made him to be sin for us. It was, he has made him to be sin for me. And thy sin purged. Thy sin purged. That live coal with its purging efficacy. Purging speaks of thoroughly cleansing. When God, and oh, we do need this. Does it make you tremble sometimes, my dear friend? When perhaps to all outward appearances you're clean. You're not swearing, you're not thieving, you're not lying. You're not committing adultery. But your heart is so unclean. All the while you don't have in exercising your heart one atom of holiness. It's all unclean within. Now, Isaiah here, the Lord says, this has purged. This has purged away your sin. It's got right to the root of it. Got right to the bottom of it. Purge me with this, says David, and I shall be clean. For thou desirest truth in the inward part. Oh, if truth is put by the Spirit in our inward part, it's the truth that purges the inward part, the heart, the soul, the mind. Thy sin is purged. Oh, what a blessing. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Well, Isaiah's lips were purged so that God could use them for his glory. What a preparation. And this is clear because Isaiah then heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And having his sin and iniquity cleansed away, how willing he is to be the Lord's servant. Here am I. Send me. What a blessing for Israel was this experience that God gave Isaiah. You know, a man that hasn't had something of this experience can't go and preach it. An angel can't preach the gospel. Neither can every man. Not even every believer. God sends sinners who have been given this experience in some measure that Isaiah had. May the Lord do it. even in this year, that our monarch has died. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening. Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Oh, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 676. Oh, could I lift this heart of mine above these creature things, I'd fly and leave this world below as though on eagle's wings. Hymn 676.
O Lord, we thank thee for thy mercy in this service and the word of thy grace. We thank thee, Lord, for those confirmations, especially in that first hymn. And Lord, we ask thy blessing. Lord, do not let the word fall to the ground. Do not let us leave it all behind as we leave thy house. But oh, grant us, we pray, each one, if it might please thee, that solemn and yet that blessed experience of conviction and forgiveness, lost and found. Keep us safe as we journey. Uphold us in life's path. And bring us safely and honourably through. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us and the whole Israel of God. Amen.